7 at WFMD. And in the studio, we've got a guest there, Ryan Hedrick.
Let me... It always helps to turn on your microphone, doesn't it, Bob?
It sounded like you turned on his, but not yours.
I did turn on his microphone and my microphone now. Thank goodness for Wednesdays, and we are indeed pleased and honored to be joined by Clyde Boatwright, the president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police. Clyde, thanks for making time for us.
Thank you, Ryan, and thank you, Bob, for having me. And
thank Glad to have you here, sir. Thank you for your service, first of all.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's get into this verdict. Now, I texted you right around the verdict was read. What were you doing at the time the verdict was read, and how did you react after it was read?
So I was tuned into one of the cable news networks, and I was doing an interview with another media outlet when I saw the call that the verdict was in. So we both mutually agreed to end that interview, and we both tuned in to the verdict. And my reaction to the verdict is you get a sense when a jury comes back that quick in a case that had so many witnesses. You had 14 days of testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You had 38 witnesses put on by the state. When the jury came back as quick, you just knew that this was a sign that it was going to be across the board. It was going to be a guilty.
And I know in your circles you run with current and former police officers. What did they say to you after the verdict?
Well, you know, it was across the board. All of our officers that I've talked to all felt as though that this process was due process. He was given a fair trial in front of his peers, and this is our criminal justice process in our country, and it's the best in the world. And it's not perfect, but the criminal justice process worked at this point.
So you kind of answered my question because I had written it down. Do you think it was a fair verdict?
Yes. So if you have 12 people who are your peers come together and they all see things the same way, it was a unanimous verdict. We've seen many trials over the years that have resulted in hung juries or mistrials. But when you have 12 people in the room who heard all of the evidence, they heard the state's case, they also heard the defense's case, and they came to the same conclusion, how can you not, you know, respect the jury's decision?
Do you remember what your first thoughts were when that video first surfaced last summer with Derek's neck on the back of his knee on the back of George Floyd's neck? Do you remember your initial reaction, Clyde?
Yeah, so when I watched it, I initially had some serious concerns because, you know, my question is, you know, where's that type of restraint taught for such a long time? I mean, when we're taught to, you know, place the knee on the back or on the shoulder blade, it's to quickly make the to handcuff the suspect, and then you get off and put the suspect on his side to recover. I mean, that's an arrest technique that's taught, but it's not to be sustained for such a long time.
The Morning News Express and WFMD. Good morning. 301-694-9363. 301-694-WFMD. Reset us, Mr. Hedrick.
Yes, indeed. So, Clyde Boatwright, the president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police, joining us here on the Morning News Express. In the first segment, we discussed the Derek Chauvin verdict, of course. Former Minnesota police officer convicted on all counts. Two murder counts and one manslaughter count in the murder of George Floyd. I want to transition to a police reform in a moment, but if you follow Clyde on Facebook, you would know that he is always presenting facts and solutions for police officers and scenarios. And yesterday was no different, Clyde. In Columbus, Ohio, there was a teenage girl shot to death after wielding a knife. It was a vicious attack, and some of the comments were kind of crazy. But take us through that scenario where we have a culture nowadays where every arrest is under scrutiny. Cameras are always rolling, and people are always looking to present some sort of narrative that if police officers arrest you in an aggressive manner, they must have committed police brutality.
Yeah, so it's no secret that that when a police officer goes to take someone into custody and you go hands-on, that it's never pretty. You know, people don't typically just give themselves up and go take them, you know, allow the police officer to take them into custody without some sort of resistance. So looking at the video out of Columbus last night, I reserved all judgment until I got to see the body cam video, and they released it late last night. And I looked and I saw a police officer, you know, who got out of the vehicle, who encountered a fight between two people, where one person was on the ground at a disadvantage, and the person on the top was armed with a knife. That person disengaged from the first person that was on the ground and went to attack another person with the knife, and actually drew the knife back and was about to swing the knife in a stabbing motion. So the police officer in that scenario is confronted with a deadly force situation.
GPS signal lost.
And so... So the,
no, you made it safe here.
So the police officer was confronted with such a serious situation. He had a split second to make that determination. And, you know, I'm seeing all kinds of comments on social media about officers shooting people in the leg or shooting the knife out of people's hands. Unfortunately, that's TV. As a police officer, you have no idea. You have no idea of the pressure that it takes a police officer to aim and also get a perfect shot like that. So I think the officers in this case, I know Columbus trains like all police departments to shoot to incapacitate. In fact, I spent some significant time at Columbus Police Academy, and they have a top of the line training facility. So I know that the officers get good training out there.
I was watching, and I don't remember who it was, on the shooting of the young man who had the airsoft, and he was saying something. He's like, "Look, a police officer's job does not mean that they don't get to go home at night. You know, they don't have they're not going to wait for somebody to fire upon them when somebody pulls a firearm or even a knife or anything. That their job is, you know, they have to protect themselves as well." And I think that a lot of people go, "Well, okay, but they're the trained ones. Then the people who are confronting them are not trained, and they should be able to react differently." Your thoughts on something like that?
So, to your point, the police officer is charged with the responsibility of preserving life. And when you look at some of these scenarios, it's not only the police officer's life that he's responsible for, but it's the members of the public. So when that officer makes the determination to use some type of force to stop, especially deadly force, in order to stop an armed assailant, he's making that choice, because if he fails to do so and it results in injury or death of a citizen, then the officer is negligent and he could be criminally charged for negligence. So you have to take those actions. You have to take swift action in order to save and preserve life.
Clyde Boatwright in the studio. He is the president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police, joining us here on the Morning News Express. Bob Miller and Ryan Hedrick for Wednesday, April 21st. It is 8:27. If you have a question or a comment for Clyde, feel free to chime in. Text or call at 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. Fortunately, we have Clyde for the whole hour. We're going to get into police reform as it relates to what's going on now. What is the feeling amongst police officers in Maryland? The long-term stability of the career seems to have been demoralized with the series of police reform bills, and many think that's driving police out of the state and driving police to quit altogether. We're going to address this very, very difficult and necessary topic with Clyde as the show goes on. It is 8:28 here at News Radio 930 WFMD, WFMD.com, and on our free WFMD app.
It is the Morning News Express on WFMD. Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick, and the president of the Maryland FOP, Clyde Boatwright, joins us in studio to talk about lots of things. One of the things that Mr. Boatwright, I got to ask, and I don't know the exact number, but I thought I read somewhere where there has been, since the beginning of 2021, like 100 police officers who have been shot in the line of duty, maybe even killed in the line of duty, and I'm not sure of that number. But does the country focus on the shooting by police, but we don't focus on the police that have been shot in our country, and there doesn't ever seem to be any kind of an uproar over police officers getting shot?
Yeah, so nationwide there have been dozens of police officers shot and or killed in the line of duty, and it is a epidemic of gun violence and assault on police, and we've seen these numbers each year. Where we see, you know, dozens and dozens of police officers shot and killed nationwide. And there's never a big outcry. Police officers don't take to the street and protest and or go to invade communities and destroy property. We don't do that as professionals. We understand that this is an inherent risk of the job each day.
All right, we're going to go out to the phone lines real quick. 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. Let's welcome Steve to the Morning News Express. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I got a couple observations, and I'd like to ask your guy one question. I'm a retired cop, really old, really way back there. And my opinion is that the video from both police chest cameras and from citizens is good for the whole system. And it's been especially shown over the Chauvin trial with the young lady recording that. And then I saw the replay and the slow-mo and everything of this Columbus shooting this morning, or it happened yesterday, I believe. And that cop is a total hero. He gets out of his car, and within 10 seconds, he's got to assess this chaos. And that woman was wielding a knife and ready to stab another woman. He did exactly what he should have done. But he did it all in a miraculous, quick, like, that guy should get a commendation and be a hero. And I think the video, I've been having this ongoing, very friendly debate with Sheriff Chuck Jenkins in this county for years. He claims that the officer cameras are too expensive. I say one incident like that, and it lets the public know that the cop was right and quit demonstrating. The guy's a hero. And on the opposite side, Chauvin was a total criminal and should go to jail. And it's because of the video. And I wonder what your guest thinks about body cameras for cops.
All right.
Thank you.
Steve, thank you so much for weighing in. I'm gonna give Clyde a chance to respond to that after the break. And we're coming up on a traffic and MTA break. It is Clyde Boatwright in the studio, the president of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police, right here on the Morning News Express. Chime in, get involved with the conversation.
Morning News Express, 842 at WFMD. Don't want to waste any time. We want to get right back to our guest, the Maryland State FOP president. His name is Clyde Boatwright. And Clyde, Steve asked a question right before the break, and that was your thoughts. And I guess maybe I would add to that. Is your personal preference to body cameras different from the one that you have to present as the president of the FOP?
No, they're both in line. My personal preference and the professional preference for body cameras are both that they bring an added benefit to our police officers. It gives commanders and it gives people who are looking at a situation. It gives them a view of what the officer was confronted with at the time that the officer made the decision to use force, whether that's, you know, hands on, pepper spray, baton, or even using a firearm. So it's a great tool, and we really think that it's a good option for our police officers to have body cams.
All right, Clyde Boatwright in studio, your chance to weigh in. He's a current police officer and the head of the Maryland State Fraternal Order of Police. Let's go to another phone call. Good morning. You're on the Morning News Express.
Hey, good morning. And thank you, Officer Boatwright.
Good morning. Thank
for
you.
For your role in law enforcement. And as a late attender to this show this morning, I have only ideas, you know, what y'all discussed, you know, from the morning. And I believe a lot of people don't understand, and your stats bear it out. It's even worse than I used to tell people, that a law enforcement officer dies on average like every other day from all causes. But now it seems like that average is now like it's daily, you know, from all causes, vehicle accidents, heart attacks, and you know, assault and shootings. And people, it's a cultural thing that I see. Let me go to the cameras. I do fully support officers wearing cameras, because if a jurisdiction doesn't, they're seen as hiding something. So they might as well just go out and go ahead and get those cameras. That it's a cultural thing with the communities, and then people don't understand how law enforcement works in subduing a person. I mean, like you said, you can't go be shooting knives and things or taking people's legs out, like President Biden suggested that's how, you know, you go about law enforcement. It just doesn't work that way. I had the opportunity of being on a Maryland jurisdiction's a list for a police officer when I was like 20 years old. But luckily, I'd say luckily, because another entity picked me up and I was doing some other line of work. But if I was still around today, I surely would be retiring, because there's no support for the officers, because they're just looked at, you know, differently, and are don't have those protections now from a mistake, and I think it's pretty sad. So thank you, and I'll just go back to listening.
All right, thanks a lot. We appreciate your comment. Let's get we have 2 minutes. Let's get to police reform. It's not fair to ask you to break down police reform in 2 minutes, but there's police reform, and then there's sensible police reform. But I'm just going to ask, is any police reform needed?
Yes, I think that we should make changes to our profession. Each profession should be always evolving. We have to make sure that our officers stay up with technology. We have to always have the best equipment available. So that is a part of police reform. We need to really look on the books and see what laws can be changed. Some things don't require a police response. So if we can relieve the stress of our police officers responding to certain situations, and if there are other people or other entities that want to go out and respond to those calls, then by all means, let our police officers focus on violent crime. Let our police officers focus on getting to car accidents and getting to house fires and getting to places where people really, really need our assistance. But some of these calls that have, you know, led to police officers being in a deadly force situation, the original call, look at the situation in Minneapolis with the Chauvin case. A counterfeit $20 bill, why are we sending 4 police officers to that call? So I think our leadership needs to step up, and I think that this is a leadership problem, and our communities wouldn't see such a big need for police reform if we had leaders in place that can think outside the box and relieve some of the stress of their line of duty police officers.
Let me ask you a question, Officer Boatwright, and that is, as an African-American and a police officer, are you getting undue pressure from both sides of people like, hey, you're a black guy, you should be worse, or, you know, hey, you're a cop, you know, it's the thin blue line you should always be protecting? What kind of pressure does that bring to you?
Well, you have to strike a balance, and ultimately we have to look at why we got into this line of work. For me, the day I became a cop, the day before I became a cop, I was a black man. And the day that I no longer do this job, I'll still be a black man. So I can't change that and wouldn't ever want to change that. I'm proud of my history and my heritage, but I'm also proud to be a police officer. And so I think that anyone putting undue pressure on someone to pick one side or the other, I think that, you know, people need to look within themselves and see if they have their own bias.
The magnitude of this problem that politicians are saying is a crisis, with blacks being killed by police officers. As a black man, aside from being a cop, do you feel like your safety is in jeopardy whenever you jump into a car, if you're pulled over, if police look at you? I mean, is it that big of a crisis, or is it more politically motivated to carry out the narrative that we do need police reform and we need to abolish police and things of that nature?
Well, there are times where, we have to look at some of our interactions and see the way that certain police interactions end up. How do they escalate? And so if that is a issue with inherent bias, then, you know, that's something that the police officer themselves have to check to say, you know, are you really, really scared every car stop, or are you scared on every call that you encounter someone of a different race? If that's occurring in our profession, then, you know, that's something we need to address. But there's a realistic fear coming from the community. And I don't think that the fear is wrong. I think that, you know, police encounters, basically, you can only go on your experience. And I know my experience, and I can tell you that real quick, is, well, I grew up in West Baltimore. I grew up and I had a realistic fear of police because of some of the encounters that I had as a young man. But it wasn't until I became a police officer and you get in the trenches where you have to have conversations about expectations with your peers. And then in some cases, you have people start to see things a little bit differently because they're only going by what they see from the outside.
All right, Clyde, thank you so much for joining us. Bob, any last questions for Clyde?
I appreciate his candid opinions. I think that it's going to get worse for the police department before it gets better, and I think that that's a shame, and I think we're going to lose a lot of good men and women who every day put their lives on the line to protect ours. And I think that all of the interactions that the police have on a daily basis, the only ones we hear about are the ones that go extremely wrong or have a bad ending to it. And I think that that's a shame. I think that we need to highlight more of the better ones that that happen on a daily basis.
All right, Clyde, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you for having me, and thank you for your comments, Bob.